From the LifeWord studios, this is Life Perspectives with Michael Goring.
Joining me today is the Grammy-nominated, Dove Award-winning gospel music family group, the Irwins. Guys, thanks for joining me today.
Hi.
We're so happy to be here.
So I was telling you off camera, you guys are my favorite group. You are my top group on Spotify, and I want to talk about the song later, the Red Words. That's my favorite song. It was my top song on Spotify this year, and it's just an honor to be able to have a few moments to talk to you guys today and to highlight your ministry and what God is doing through your lives. So thanks for joining me.
Well, thank you, Brother Michael. It's our privilege. It's our privilege, brother. Thank you. We're honored.
So tell me, you started out singing at your dad's revival meetings. Your dad is Dennis Irwin, a well-known evangelist in Texas and throughout the South. Is that how you got started?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. So the dad didn't get married, kind of a short form. He didn't get married until he was 38. Traveled by himself for 17 years as a single evangelist. He thought that God was going to have him be a single evangelist his entire ministry. You know, at 37, 36, 37, before he met mom, he was kind of satisfied with what God was having him do. But he met our mom in a tent revival. And a year and a half later, they were married. And he told her, he said, man, I've been by myself for so long. I don't want to leave you at home and continue to do what I'm doing by myself. I'd love for you to get on the road with us. And she said, well, I'm ready. Let's go. So that's literally our upbringing. I was first. I'm the eldest. I was raised on the road. Cody, Chris, Katie, all of us kind of started singing at a very young age, just traveling and singing before dad preaches every night. At that point, we were raised. We were doing 40 to 45 Sunday through Wednesday revival meetings a year. And so we were constantly on the road.
We were very obviously homeschooled.
Yes, absolutely. but anyway, yeah, so that's kind of the synopsis of our upbringing and what we have done in the early years. But now God has kind of changed our ministry in some ways where we're doing a lot more concerts and more one-night events together. And so still doing some Bible conferences and some Bibles kind of sprinkled in. But mainly kind of just traveling the roads, trying to be in as many places as we can, also with being with our families that are growing also.
Yeah. So what, Cody, what's been one of those things that, what's been the most rewarding aspect of working together as a family in music?
Well, I mean, it's kind of the camaraderie that we all have. I mean, we're siblings, we're normal siblings. We have our days where we don't get along, to put mildly, but we travel on a 45-foot bus, so it's all close quarters, but that's good and bad. I mean, as family, you get to celebrate your best days and get to be together on your worst days. And so it's a privilege to get to travel and to honor Christ and get to meet so many new people as a family. What I'm saying is you get to celebrate in all aspects of life. I mean, we get normal Christmases, we get normal holidays, we get normal birthdays, but then we get to work together and create music together. And I think that's something that most families get to do. And so I'm very excited that that gets to happen, that I'm privileged to have that opportunity.
I think it's really cool, since we are all siblings, that we can tell by even just one look. You know, like if something's wrong or if something's off, like on stage or something, all you got to do is a little glance and you're like, oh no, like they need help or they need this. They're forgetting the words, or they're like, you know exactly what's happening with everyone because we are so close and we spend so much time around each other. So we have a lot of fun.
Sure. Honestly, as crazy and hectic as the road life is, and for anybody who has done it, is travel for a living at all in any capacity, even without music, but even throw music into it, I could not imagine doing this in any other way without having family, especially a sibling unit. Like Katie just said, we just know each other so well, and that unit it makes it a lot easier, makes the tough days on the road easy.
And do you guys, hearing Chris say that, do you guys collectively say, aw?
Mainly to Chris, that reference happens. We're like, oh, you know.
Hey, it's heartfelt, guys. It's heartfelt.
So in the studio, is there, I'm sure there's, you guys are close knit, obviously, but how do you guys handle creative differences? Is there one sure voice that says, this is what we're going to do? How does that work?
We all honestly, as siblings, I think that's one of the best strengths of doing it as siblings, is that we all really get to throw in input, and we know each other's voices so well that, especially after singing together since we were literal infants, we all really have input together, I think.
And we've had our same producer for 10 years, Wayne Hahn, never had any other producer. And so as siblings, we know each other. And then he's come to know us, what we like individually. So if Chris or Keith or Katie or I, myself, are singing a certain song, we trying to go somewhere with it, he's like, you know what, do this. I think this is going to fit your style, what you're going for. And so as a group, we can bounce off each other. And then Wayne is such a gold mine for us to have. And it's been a privilege to work with him for 10 years. So yeah.
Wayne's the tiebreaker. Like if we're 2-2, it's Wayne. Wayne can put everything there for us.
So in my intro, you guys are Grammy nominees. You've been nominated for a Grammy Award. I mean, the pinnacle of musical success. What has that journey been? What has that been for you? What? How did you? I mean, when you found out about it, what did you feel when you first heard the news?
I was. I'll be honest with you. I was laying in bed because you know it was 2020. And it was happening when nobody was able to be a part of anything.
Do anything.
And it was on Facebook. I believe it was on Facebook.
Yeah, they're announcing.
Their announcing was on Facebook. And I was just kind of laying in bed. We weren't expecting it at all. And they said the Irwins, what Christmas really means for Roots Album of the Year, is a nomination. And I just levitated and jumped out of the bed. And I just could not imagine what I just heard.
I jumped up and ran.
Yeah, we were blown away, to say the very least.
None of us were together. Like we were all, no. I was in Georgia at my in-law's house. No. None of us were together. None of us were expecting it.
It's not something to expect. Honestly, no. I've watched the announcing the last 2 years only mostly to see how many of our friends get in it. And so we can cheer them on and see who get, so to hear our names that year was just, we were like, wait, that's us. It was crazy.
And the unfortunate thing is that, again, it was 2020. We weren't able to go to LA and be a part of the ceremony and everything. And so hopefully, prayerfully, if we continue to put out good music, that we'll have that opportunity again to more experience the whole situation there.
And so we got to lose our Grammy sitting in our house.
Yes.
We didn't get to walk the red carpet or anything or meet Adele.
Meet Adele.
I love it. So well, and let me just say, as a fan, as a listener, you guys are putting out great music. What's the title of the album, the latest album?
Life Story.
Life Stories, yeah. Every one of those songs is just absolutely incredible. Is there a favorite for? I'm sure that you guys all have different. What's your favorite?
I would say Back to the Garden. Charity Gale, Ryan Kennedy, and Jaron Davis wrote that lyric. I think one of the most powerful songs we've ever been able to sing, and it's a strong song. It gets a response from an audience unlike any other song that we've ever had. I've ever staged, just kind of a somber stillness after the song. And it's an experience in and of itself. And it's because of how challenging the lyric is. It's a song of revival. It's an examination of each and every believer. Where are we, where we need to be when it comes to our relationship with Christ, or is it time to go back to the garden? And so it's really a song of revival. And it's, I think, one of the strongest and most powerful lyrics that God has given us to sing. And we're thankful for the writers such as Ryan Kennedy and Charity Gale and Jaron Davis, who have written thousands of songs for the church. And really one of the pillars of our ministry is singing, writing, emphasizing songs for the church. Because we know that the local church will always be here as long as we're here. It's the body of Christ. And so that's who we want to minister to the most.
Cody?
Yeah, I mean, I think my favorite song is it's not just because I sing it, but I only have the cross to blame. It's one of the most deep theological songs I think we've ever sung. It goes right, but it's so simple at the same time. It speaks right to the heart of any believer. And it just simply says, I only have the cross to blame for taking away our sins for the, you know, because he paid the ultimate price on the cross. And so it's a kind of a ballad song. We do it fourth or fifth normally in a night. And it kind of sets the tone for where we're at for a night. And I love singing the song.
Katie?
Okay, so it's kind of a loaded question for me. I do like Red Words. I know you've already mentioned Red Words. And that was written by Rodney Griffin and Barbara Huffman. And it just talks about the Word of God. It's a very encouraging song. Love singing that one. But honestly, and it's not because we all four wrote it, but I love Joy Is Gonna Come. I think it's such a fun song, and it's really fun to sing it live. I feel like it connects really easily with people. It's got a fun tempo, a great message, and kind of a side story on when we wrote it. Chris and I came up with the idea of it. I think it was, August the 5th of 2021, because we were still kind of home during COVID and all that. And then we found ourselves in Nashville in August of 22, and we had a co-write set up with our friends Jason Cox and Kenna West, and we actually finished the song exactly 365 days later, which is so weird to me.
Yeah,
it wasn't planned at all. It just so happened that we were in Nashville that day, set up a co-write, and they were kind of just asking what we had, if we had anything saved in our notes. And Chris and I was like, hey, why don't we go back to this? And it was exactly 1 year later from the time that God gave us the idea for Joy's Gonna Come. So kind of a cool story when it comes to that song. And I really like singing it. I think it's a fun song.
It is Joy's a fun Gonna song.
And Red Words. Let's do both of those.
Good.
Joy's Gonna Come is a fun song though, but Keith's son and Cody's two girls, they love that song. they call it Joy Song.
Joy Songs.
I love it. I want to hear Joy Song.
Hey, and you know what? We need joy in the world today, and we need to have message of joy and hope. And so that is a great song. How do you balance your personal faith with your music career? How does that relationship influence the songs maybe that you create or write?
Oh, that's such a fluid situation, Brother Michael, and it's fluid with every record, whatever we're going through in that particular season. I will say that 2024 was one of the toughest, most challenging years of our ministry. Our bus hardly ever worked right the whole year. $60,000 was how much we were out in 2024 with just the bus and what it cost to fix it. Out of the dates that we lost because of it, and then other things that happened personally, just family, you know, stuff that all four of us went through. It was just a challenging year, and it was kind of on the heels of releasing a record, and so we have not yet, even as we're sitting here today, not yet been able to properly put those experiences in our lyrics yet, because like I said, we had just released a life story. But also in that season, you can also look back at those songs that you just released and gain strength from those songs we were just naming, reminding us of the faithfulness of God and how much God can be with us and walk through every situation that we're in, as crazy and as hectic as our lifestyle is. And so not only can we look in the future to write towards what God has brought us through, but we can also look at past records, past songs, past lyrics that God has allowed us to sing and to stage and hit touch our hearts as we pray every night that it touches the listener.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There are songs that we recorded last year, or I guess in the studio last year. Would have been 2 years
ago. 2 years
ago. Yeah, when we were recording Life Story 2 years ago. There are songs like Still Telling My Story. That song has a whole new meaning now, after stuff we've been going through in the last few years, that it's where life's going to throw things your way, but we're all going to continue and keep on, and because we're all still telling our story. And songs like that have a whole new meaning in this season, even though we released it, you know, a year ago or so.
As a group, you know, you're in a competitive industry, what maybe has been the challenge that you've faced, and how have you overcome that?
Oh, you know, we just want to stay close to Christ. You know, I think one of the pillars of our ministry is knowing where, who we are, what we do. You know, we've never called ourselves Southern Gospel artists, or even, you know, gospel artists, whatever that means in the genre realm. We just always called ourselves Christian music, a family that sings Christian music. And so whatever that means is what it means. You know, we don't really title ourselves. We just, like I said, if we title ourselves anything, we want to have songs for the church. We want to be based completely and wholly, especially since because of our upbringing. We were raised in the local church. We've always sung in the local church, and we always want to continue our ministry being based solely in the local church. And so whatever happens after that is probably what other people label us. And that's okay. You know, we want to build bridges, especially between generations. That would be something that we would love to do. We do a lot of older songs. We do a lot of newer songs. And we want people, when they come to our concerts, to find a song, regardless of the generation, that they love, that they can worship to. And so thankfully, you know, as far as being the competitive, you know, genre that we're in, we don't really look into it that much. You know, we just want to do what God has called us to do and simply sing the songs He's given us to sing.
And honestly, that's something our Father has instilled in us as well.
Yeah.
I'm thankful for.
Yeah.
And we were raised fans of the music as well. So, you know, doing different events and concerts with other groups and stuff, we're just in there as fans too when we're not singing. Yeah. We're listening and cheering on, and we genuinely love it with a passion. So
as Christian music changes, and it seems like it's always changing, right? I mean, there's always, you know, new ideas, new styles. What do you hope your impact is going to be in the future of, we'll just call it Christian music instead of saying Southern gospel or gospel, but just in Christian music, what do you hope your impact is going to be, Cody?
Yeah, I mean, I think always it is to build the kingdom, you know, see lost people saved. But also, like he said, I think we've had one of our goals and pillars of our music career has been reach younger people. And that's not just to reach younger people for Southern gospel music. That's not just to reach for the Irwin's sake. It's for the kingdom. And I think if Christians in a whole would have that idea more of to reach for the build the kingdom, that it wouldn't matter what category of music you're in. It wouldn't matter what style you sing. It would matter that everybody has the collective goal is to build the kingdom of Christ. So I think that's probably one of our biggest goals in a concert each night, whether we're singing to a senior adult Sunday school class or a youth meeting. We do a big youth summer meeting at the LeConte Center in Pigeon Forge, where there's 4,000 youth young people there. And there's also, we sang to 500 college and career students that same week. So, I mean, we just want to be found faithful and to build the kingdom. And it's like you said, I mean, it doesn't matter what style, what beat, what the music sounds like, long as it's honoring Christ. And people connect with that. I mean, people can see genuine, people can see real. And I think if we can stay true to that, then it, you know, the stylistic differences will kind of fade away.
You know,
was good.
I like that.
That, you know,
as a pastor, from my vantage point, and I'm echoing what you're saying here, people are looking for authenticity, and they can smell a fake from a mile away, right?
That's right. Yes, they're looking for something real, for sure.
And not only, I mean, we have the one thing that is eternally true, right? We have the gospel, and as long as we're anchored in that, we're going to be okay.
Right.
Keith and Cody, this question's for you. How has fatherhood changed your perspective on life and music?
Ooh. I can say that it's a new experience every day. And I think, I don't know if my occupation, I don't, obviously, like I said a second ago, kind of hinted on it, you know, there are experiences that we go through every day that will shape our music for years to come. Because there are things, as you know, especially when you're a father of like a toddler, you know, you're already drinking from a fire hydrant already. But then when you have an occupation where you are, in some ways sharing your heart and your emotions in a spiritual way through music, man, I don't even know if I truly yet can answer that question, because I'm still in that position and in that time. And, you know, it's a lot. I will tell you that it's a lot to try to maneuver, but I thank God for the opportunity, and I'm sure Cody would do the same.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's pretty cool because we grew up young in music and ministry. I think it's cool to see our kids kind of be interested in the same thing, although they don't travel and sing as much as we did back in the day. But even my two girls will get up and play piano and sing like Jesus Loves Me. My 5-year-old Ivy, she loves. I mean, she wants to sing every night if we would let her. And sometimes she gets up there whether we let her or not. But she loves it. And I think it's cool to get to see the other side of it now, kind of like what our father saw back in the day. And I think it's kind of full circle feelings. And, you know, we'll be in the car and they'll ask for somebody's song, whether it's a peer of ours or one of ours. And it's kind of cool, you know, that they realize that it's music, but then they know the people and the relationships form. And it's pretty cool to get to see them as young as we were, to get to enjoy the music. So it's really cool. And it's a blessing. I mean, to be able to worship with your family, you know, they get to come see us many times throughout the year in concert settings. And it's just cool to have them involved any chance we get.
They're the best. All three of their kids love music. He's right. It's really cool.
So the future of the Irwins is secure.
Yes. There's Irwins 2.0 on the way.
We'll see.
What are some upcoming goals or projects that you guys are working on that you're excited about? You want to break any news today?
Soon.
New music?
We're brainstorming. We have been brainstorming hard about what is next. We have so many ideas of what we want to do, and we're very motivated. Is considering kind of what Keith was talking about a minute ago, things we've been going through, we're excited to put that into a new album. And we have ideas we have a lot of ideas we want to venture into that we're excited about.
Katie, you seem like you're just oozing with excitement.
Well, I don't want to say anything too much because I want to leave some suspense, you know, I can't really share too much. We kind of want to do something completely different than we've ever done before. I can say that. And I know that can be annoying to hear someone talk about, because like everyone says that we never get to know what it is, but just stay tuned. And then also I do want to mention our podcast. We have a podcast as four siblings. It's called 4Ks in a Pod. And we release 2 episodes a month. It is so silly. It is so lighthearted. And it's just us talking like you're on the bus with us. Like, we talk about road stories, places that we're going, places we've been, people we've met. We do a lot of interviews with friends. And our parents actually have an episode, which is really funny, on there. So you can listen to that on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or on YouTube. Just a little bit, you know, better way to get to know our family.
What's the
title on a deeper level. 4Ks in a Pod.
4Ks in a Pod.
Yeah.
You were homeschooled.
That's something that we still do and we work on, and we definitely want to get better at that too. But as far as music, stay tuned.
We're not working
on it yet, but soon.
I appreciate you giving just a teaser on this program. You heard it here first, is what I'm saying.
There you go, yeah.
They're going to do something they've never done before. What an amazing team.
Wow.
It's going to be unlike anything you've liked before.
I love it. How do you hope your ministry and music impacts listeners in the long term? What message would you like for fans of the Irwins to take away from your albums, from your performances?
Yeah, again, that we're bridge builders, you know, through generations, between generations. We want each and every person, regardless of the age, regardless of the demographic or the experiences, we want them to worship the Lord in our concerts. Mm-hmm. We don't want it to be a performance. We never want it to be some kind of a concert in and of itself. But we do want it to be a worship service. And so that would be the biggest thing. But don't water down the gospel, you know, the gospel's substance. In and of itself. And so we hope and pray that every single lyric that we sing is the gospel. And so we want it to be, and again, kind of what Cody said, regardless of the style, regardless of whatever you would say there, we always want the gospel to be front and center in everything that they see on stage.
If you go back and listen to albums we've released specifically since 2015, you'll hear every type of genre, every type of style on each song, each album intentionally. That's so I, like Keith said, I really do hope that 30 years from now, when people look back, they think, wow, the Irwins were, they were trying to reach everybody. They were trying to reach everybody.
Yeah,
I agree. I concur. Hey,
you agree?
Yes. Oh, yeah, for sure. And I think our parents really instilled that in us growing up. When we were on our way to like different meetings and concerts and stuff, we always had music playing in our band. And they put such a love for any kind of Christian music, as long as it was about the gospel, in our hearts. I mean, we went everywhere from like Phillips Craig and Dean to Sandy Patty. Our dad is one of the biggest Inspirations fans. So like it was all over the board in Southern gospel and CCM and worship and all kind Easter. Of stuff. And I think that's what Mid-South. We like to, Jeff and Sherry Easter, Mid-South. The Mid-South guys, whatever their name was. I was too young to even remember.
Way before you.
Mid-South boys. I almost said Mid-South brothers. And that's what stopped me.
The Booth brothers.
The Booth brothers.
Yeah.
Personally, for me, we've already mentioned her off camera, but Taranda Green has been my biggest influence growing up. Literally would not have learned harmony if it wasn't for the Greens, like old school stuff, probably. So I'm the biggest Greens fan ever. And so like I said, dad and mom really put that love for Christian music, no matter the style or the beat or whatever, as long as it was about the gospel. And that's what we want to carry on with our music today. So
one last question, this is for everybody. Who is an artist, living or dead, that you wish you could do a collaboration with?
Oh, give us 30 minutes.
I know mine.
You know yours. I know okay. mine. Go ahead.
We'll go youngest to oldest.
Okay.
Charity Gill.
Okay.
Good.
Irwins and Charity Gill. Like Keith said, I mean, she puts out music for the church.
Yeah.
It's songs that everyone can relate to. Everyone can learn easily. And that's something that we want to do as well. And I love Charity. I think her voice is incredible. Her writing is amazing. I love Charity. So mine's Charity.
We live about 10 miles from one of the greatest Christian music songwriters. I would love to one day do something with Chris Tomlin.
Okay.
Yeah.
The Irwins and Chris Tomlin. All right.
Hometown people.
Yep. We're from a little town called Edgewood. And then literally just up the highway, the next town to the east is Grand Saline. That's where Chris Tomlin was raised.
Yeah.
And his dad is still walking around town with overalls. You never know that's Chris Tomlin's dad, but his name is Connie Tomlin, a tremendous man, Christian man.
He comes to see us.
He comes to see us periodically. Just a great family, and we're thankful for how God's used them.
Cody?
I'm going to give a personal preference as just an artist, artist to artist. Michael English, as an artist, I would love to do somehow. We'd back him up. Also, I'll give a few names since you're asking for more.
You've done with him before.
It was special. It was special, but like I guess on a record form where there'd be proof that because he has no idea who I am. But as another family group, the Collingsworth family, I would love to somehow we're not able to do that because we lack talent. But I would love to be able to do something with them. I think we have so much in common: grew up in ministry, family, siblings, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, and then also something that has been done, I think it's been released, and this can be edited out. I'm sure it's not live or anything. The Gaither homecoming, we got to be on a Gaither taping, and that was something that was special to us. We grew up on all the filming and watching all the DVDs and stuff. So being able to sit in the room, that was something that we could kind of check off the bucket list kind of thing. So it's a very special day.
Yeah, I would say Keith and Kristen Getty. I would love to do something with them. Again, church writers, church people, and also the Isaacs. The Isaacs. You will not listen to the 4Ks in a Pod podcast very long without knowing that we have great admiration for the Isaacs. And we love listening to them sing. They are great friends, and they are one of the handful of groups that we would go and listen to on off nights. You know, just
we have.
Because, and I'm not saying that there's not a lot of groups. I'm saying that we don't have a lot of days at home. And so when we have one or two days at home, you know, there's only just a handful that we would leave our homes to go listen to just because of our crazy schedule. The Isaacs would definitely be one of those.
Can I mention one more as well? I'm sorry.
Hey,
If it's a dead person, we're getting really close to this camera too, by the way.
I know.
Y'all are so excited.
We're talking about the Isaacs. He's not dead, but I would love to work with Michael W. Smith. I would love to work with him.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Dead person. Let's think of a dead person.
Vestal Goodman.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Goodman. Ronnie Henson. Kenny Henson.
Okay.
Still living.
All right. Sure. I love all these answers. I love all of them. Thanks, guys, for doing this, for being on the program. Folks, if you want to learn more about the Irwins, find out their tour schedule and to download or to buy their music, visit irwinministries.com. I'm Michael Goring, and this has been Life Perspectives. Thanks for watching.